interrupting current neo-Uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM 594. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed, because you don't know what you missed until you get behind the woodshed. It's pretty much that simple. Something that is increasingly not simple to avoid, and listen very carefully, who's doing it and how they're doing it. Texas court strikes down teen content ban while keeping digital ID checks in place. U.S. District Court of Western District of Texas has issued an order in the case brought against Texas SCOPE Act, House Bill 18, approving in part a preliminary injunction. The request has been granted against the provisions requiring social media companies to block teens from accessing certain types of harmful content. However, the court decided to allow online age registration through the digital ID requirements from the same act to remain in place. The law, which was to come into force by September 15th, is designed to make major web services filter what minors can access on the Internet, but also identify them. NetChoice is framing the ruling as yet another instance in a growing number of cases of a federal court, quote, blocking governmental censorship when it comes to lawful content and speech on the Internet. The group representative, Massive Corporations, said that it has been successful in injunctions requests against four more states whose laws create the net choice, what net choice calls an age gate. However, that's not the same as age verification, which net choice chose not to mention in its statement regarding the ruling. Namely, the court's decision left data collection and age verification out of the preliminary injunction. The latter rule applies to sites that are deemed to contain, quote, large amounts of adult content, close quote, even though they are not adult sites. And they're messing with Texas. If you thought they couldn't, here they is. And this governmental and bar-controlled judicial route to force the digital ID Siberian gulag continues unabated, publicly and privately. They're solving the problem that they cause. We can read a research paper authored by Microsoft, OpenAI, and a host of influential universities proposes developing, quote, personhood credentials, identified as PHCs. Is that carcinogenic? It's notable for the fact that the same companies that are developing and selling potentially deceptive AI models are now coming up with a fairly drastic solution, a form of digital ID. The goal would be to prevent deception by identifying people creating content on the Internet as real as opposed to that generated by AI. And the paper freely admits that privacy is not included. Instead, there's talk of a cryptographic authentication that is also described as pseudonymous, as PHCs are not supposed to publicly identify a person. Well, then how are they identifying personhood then? Unless, that is, the demand comes from law enforcement. Oh, there you go, your connection to the statute, that statutory subject. Quote, although PHCs prevent linking the credential across services, users should understand that their other online activities can still be tracked and potentially de-anonymized through existing methods, said the paper's authors. Here we arrive at what could be the gist of the story. Come up with a workable digital ID available to the government while on the surface preserving anonymity, and wrap it all in a package supposedly righting the very wrongs Microsoft and company are creating through their lucrative AI products. The paper treats online anonymity as the key weapon used by bad actors engaging in deceptive behavior, and Microsoft product manager Shrey Jain suggested during an interview, while this was in the past acceptable for the sake of privacy and access information, times have changed. The reason is AI, or rather AI panic, thriving these days well before the world ever gets to experience and deal with true AI, they call AGI, but it's not enough for the likes of Microsoft, OpenAI, or other 30 others, including Harvard, Oxford, or MIT, to suggest PHCs. people are treated as not really different from websites in this scenario, where PHCs are likened to the certificate authorities, but it remains unclear, although governments are mentioned as a possible route of trust, which authority should authenticate and assign identifiers to humans as proof that they are human. What if you're just men and women? Since the paper doesn't really represent a concrete blueprint on how to develop and implement the PHCs, it could also be seen as a way for the industry to continue raking in revenues from AI, in quotes, AI, while pacifying restless governments, reassuring them that something is being done. How about if we just make it a law that if you're an AI programmer, you have to have you go get the certification, and that has to be attached to every product that comes out of that machine, and it can be tracked back to whomever the originator is, and the penalty for not doing so is death of your program. Just execute it right there, and then put you on time to before you can, penalties before you can start entering back in to do that, and then the rest of us can be left alone. How about if we just go that way instead? How about if we just not worry about the content on the internet, forget this digital ID? Well, no, you can't do that because that's what they need in the future. That Siberian gulag. C-Y-B-E-R-I-A-N. Siberian. And don't find out too late about this next thing. Kind of interesting, again, who's involved in all this and continuing. So no pleading guilty to this next situation. Your stuff is government stuff and guilty as being a witness when the police say so. Remember the caveat last before, unless the government wants it. This is what this is all about, to gain quick access and not necessarily needing a warrant to do so. Why? Third party, right? All this stuff. I told you this is going to be the Achilles heel to us, all this, the third party access. Oakland police attempt to seize Canadians' Tesla to access possible Sentry Mode crime footage. Tesla's Sentry Mode, designed to protect against theft and vandalism, they say on the cover. But the feature here is now being used to in a different way, where police departments are seizing Teslas parked near crime scenes in order to access footage that may have been captured by Sentry Mode. Let me interject before we even get there. If any of you have a camera at all in your car, it's now being picked up to be tapped for evidence. So imagine being on vacation only to find your car hooked up to a tow truck by the police. This is exactly what recently happened to a Kanukistanian tourist from Calgary visiting Oakland, California. Kamala? Ring a bell? The ordeal began when the owner parked his car at a La Quinta Inn, a hotel near Oakland International Airport. Unbeknownst to him, a violent incident had occurred nearby involving a man who was later found dead from gunshot and stab wounds. When the Oakland police arrived on scene, they noticed the Tesla parked nearby and immediately recognized the potential of its Sentry Mode to have recorded the crime. Without being able to locate the owner, the officers filed a search warrant to tow the Tesla to secure location where they could extract any footage that might be stored on the car's USB drive. This action was taken without the owner's knowledge or consent, purely based on the possibility that the car's cameras might have captured evidence critical to the investigation. Quote, I know that Tesla vehicles contain external surveillance cameras in order to protect their drivers in the theft and or liability accidents. Based on this information, I respectfully request the warrant is authorized to seize this vehicle from the La Quinta Inn parking lot so this vehicle's surveillance footage may be searched via an additional search warrant at the secure location, Officer Kevin Godgash wrote in a search warrant affidavit. Fortunately, the owner, he had returned to his car just in time to see it being prepared for towing. When he offered to provide the footage voluntarily, the police released the vehicle, avoiding that what could have been a lengthy and frustrating ordeal, especially if he was planning on leaving town soon. This case is not an isolated one. According to the San Francisco Chronicle, Oakland police and other law enforcement agencies in California have increasingly begun to target Teslas parked near crime scenes, citing several recent cases where Teslas were towed for possible evidence captured on the onboard cameras. To inquire upon the USB's drive contents kind of caught my eye, and this is not just for a particularized time in question, what I picked up there. They just want the entire file. So it seemed to me there was also no protections against self-incrimination. Like, what if your camera caught you jaywalking or something else to build that ham sandwich that the persecutor didn't like to see you do it? What if the system wasn't working as well? Remember, all these possibilities. Government should at least be required to offer a rental car until they return your property as well, it seemed to me. And then it's delivered to you when they're done. If they get that far, you are replaced for your loss, for their inquiry, their investigation. But what's an occupied people going to do in a police state that monopolizes every aspect of your life? In the public interest, of course, is where we're headed. Siberian Gulag. Every digital thing can be seized. Everything around it can be seized. Now, there's a whole lot behind this I don't really want to talk too much more about, but it occurred to me there needs to be, again, as I said, there's legislation. They have that connection going to Tesla. Tesla gets to download your stuff. Well, maybe there's something they have to do to tell Tesla in order to offload that data once they get the warrant there instead of stealing your car. Maybe there's other alternatives, but the cops don't worry about all that. They could care less about interfering with your life because it's for the public interest, as you see. And despite all the nonsense we've been hearing about Russia collusion 2.0, the war against journalism and arrested and indictments against journalists or the luminaries duped, as we heard, it is now being reported as well. No foreign attempts to interfere in presidential elections were detected by United States intel departments. Despite all this noise about that, there's no foreign attempts to have interference in presidential elections. Officials from the FBI, remember that as we're going to go through some of today's things and what's going on and what the government's really up to and how to peer through what's going on. And all your suspicions will be answered, but the question is, then what do we do about it? Ultimately, as we keep hearing the notice in the news telling us what's going on, if we would just look at it that way instead of them trying to tell us some story out there. No, this is what's going on, and this is a political and legal and detrimental, ultimately. Officials from the FBI and two other agencies nonetheless claim Russia, China, and Iran are trying to stoke discord among voters. U.S. authorities have not detected any attempts by foreign actors to directly interfere in the upcoming presidential election. Representatives of the Office of Director of National Intelligence, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the Federal Bureau of Intelligence have stated intelligence officials did, however, claim that Russia, Iran, and China are trying to sway public opinion to sow discord in American society. Actually, do we need to hear any more there? This is exactly part of the point of what I keep talking about, exposing through all of this. When are the people going to stop this nonsense continuing, allowing these people inside government to encroach on their lives because it's for public security? During the 2016 and 2020 elections, U.S. intelligence agencies repeatedly alleged that Moscow was deploying hackers and using, quote, information warfare to swing the vote in favor of Donald Trump. May I interject, as I've been saying for months and years, one finger pointed out is three fingers pointing back. And I read you the documents about the military's cognitive warfare programs, and all the intelligence agencies are involved. The Five Eyes, Seven Eyes, the Googly Eyes, they're all involved. None of these claims have been proven true. A report released by the special counsel Robert Mueller in 2019 found them to be baseless. During a multi-agency press briefing in Washington, D.C. on Friday, an unnamed representative of the ODNI said, quote, "We have not observed any foreign actors seeking to interfere in the conduct of the 2024 elections." So when the CIA, instead of staying neutral, as the Biden regime through Kirby insists it's going to in his daily discussions they have, that the CIA endorses Kamala through a so-called former, implying not connected, CIA director, and the FBI fabricates Russiagate, and doesn't investigate the CIA, an agency known to overthrow governments, while the FBI is also attacking journalism and journalists who speak out against the government indiscretions, the foreign government meddling they find, or the genocide in the world, working in concert with the U.S. DOJ, a delicatessen au jour, it seems, having the power to indict a ham sandwich to get a conviction, the U.S. military overarching that, known to operate the largest cognitive warfare infrastructure on the planet, all now given license through this Schmidt-Mundt Modernization Act that we've heard and I've reported on to lie to the American people. Remember about that. Don't forget that's always sitting there. Who are the ones in the gates committing election interference? Because there's no one outside of the gates doing a thing from this report. Should we be concerned with any feeble efforts of countries out there more than the systemic existential threat right here that's admitted in this one report? As for Iran, the United States Intelligence Agency believes that the country is, quote, making greater effort than in the past to influence this year's elections, looking to, quote, stoke discord and undermine confidence in our electoral process. But with the acts of the U.S. government to date, that it seems to me, we don't need to be concerned with Iran or any other country stoking, quote, discord and undermining confidence in the electoral process, because the federal employees and federal government agencies are doing a fine job of that already, and unaccountably so. Under color of Perens Patriae, the guardian of the people, that because they're presumed incompetent, go read for this. Go find this term, Perens Patriae, and read up about it. Or people are presumed incompetent and can't protect themselves, and mistreating my listener as a child for your benefit, no less. Treating you all other than sovereign as the founding fathers intended. So I say again, you knows them when you sees them, both when witnessing their deeds or omissions, or in seizing them red-handed in the crime, as we would tend to think is more obvious. Are you the chose of municipal government, or free to choose? Remember, I cite out your civil rights. That's a chose, a property and a right of the government, and a benefit bestowed by it. So are you a chose of municipal government, or free to choose? Relative to the presumption and position of Perens Patriae, I must ask then, who is your natural guardian? I would submit that you need to choose ye this day. The chose, or to choose. So now that it's known that there is no foreign election interference, those that might have hidden under the trope have to think twice, or they may expose themselves. Where do we find this? Right in the news. Right through this. Just keep reading. Just depends on what your mind fixes on any week. And you can probably find lots to prove it out, as I do each week. Judge delays Trump sentencing in hush money case until after November election. So it's not happening out there. No election interference out there. Now we're going to turn the gaze inside, and the judge comes right out and delays the decision until after November. Manhattan Judge Juan M. Merkan, who is also weighing a defense request to overturn the verdict on immunity grounds, delayed Trump's sentencing until November 26th, several weeks after the final votes are cast in the presidential election. The sentencing, quote, to avoid any appearance, however unwarranted, that the proceeding has been affected by or seeks to affect the approaching presidential election in which the defendant is a candidate, is what the court said is a fair and impartial and apolitical institution. And so he now invokes that, where it didn't seem like he wanted to do that before. And also, again, we have this gaze now turning from outside, because it's not out there. Well, where's this election interference that everybody's complaining about? The intelligence agencies have been lying to the people, and unaccountably so is the main thing I keep seeing here. And I think everybody are starting to see that. I'm hoping that more people start to understand that's really the root of the problem. So my thought on this, as it goes through, go to 26th November, let's say he gets into office. If Trump wins that election, can he pardon himself? And despite the lack of findings of foreign interference and predating the tenant media and the victimized light-skinned luminaries, four Americans convicted of conspiring with Russia. Now, someone make sense of this for me, because I just can't. These last few minutes of tabs, I haven't been able to make sense of. No outward election fraud, no tampering, no problems, and yet we got people going down through the courts for tampering, for being agents of somebody that's not doing any tampering at all. Four U.S. black rights activists have been convicted of conspiring to act as unregistered Russian agents, the Justice Department has announced. They have been acquitted, however, of more serious charge of acting as agents of a foreign government. Again, today, pay attention to these little subtle details. So now this case, I don't know if anybody's heard about it. They have not much been talking about it. It's been brewing for a while. But it's very concerning because it uses the same foreign agent or conspiracy method being used to attack the journalists that we hear recently. This case is almost predating most all of that. And I don't really have an analysis of this case more than an observation. But given the conspiracy to act would indicate an unfulfilled yet pending potential to act, how does a jury find conspiracy to act where it found after the fact no acts of a foreign agent? Is the problem with seemingly all these recent cases. So understand this happened before, and now we look at the other cases that have come, but watch how they've adjusted. So to put a finer point on it here, this article will explain that any connection to a Russian Alexander Lonov is only alleged and not proven, and where he said in a recent interview that, quote, over 2 years, our counterparts have been unable to find any evidence and used, quote, the entire list of restrictions and limitations that could be imposed, he claimed. And then if we take here as true what one defendant after this case, Yoshitella, said after that trial, speaking to a crowd outside the courthouse after the trial, he said it was important that, quote, they were unable to convict us of working for anybody except black people. He stressed that he was, quote, willing to be charged and found guilty of working for black people. So then we see the same delicatessen au jour ham sandwich pretense of Russian agent Kennard, which all juries are preloaded by media to be against. This is then condemning people for speaking out against what they perceive are U.S. government injustices, and it is evidence of a rogue government using lawfare to stifle sending a broader message as well, to stifle dissent generally. That there were no blacks in the Southern jury is also troubling and very suspicious on this. And any of you having studied the jury selection process, and I've touched it a couple of times way in the past, will know how concerning that is, and that this is built in a systemic bias selection in a system that affects more than just blacks, where they do these jury selections. It'll be any subject matter under the color of a lawful due process, so as not to call attention to it by the natives. When you start looking, you just look in, you just come in, sit down, you see the jury selection, all that, you think it's normal. You've got to get behind the scenes on how they go about doing that and what pool they're picking from. And the very people that are also the jurors, they're believing that they're doing their part to do justice, so they blindly walk in and be chosen that way, is the method that I'm identifying here for me to call out, that I want you to be aware of. So understand the method here. The government hits people with doing a criminal act and also with conspiracy to act, then doesn't produce any evidence for any of it. That the government's commercial jury, remember, these jurors are from a pool of traffickers' licenses called driver's license, and they convict these people for mere association with other people. In this case, as Yotella describes it, quote, they were unable to convict us for working for anybody except black people. When you see the way these are developed and the way the persecutors bring this forward to convict the ham sandwich, it's concerning indeed. I don't know what really more to say. People may not be interested in this. These cases are indicative of what is going on across the country. And any of you that are involved in these certain things, it may be collected up because you get on the wrong side of an opinion. And you all, I'm going to stop fighting for my opinion. You better understand what's coming as a procedural thing behind you, the process underneath it. Now be ready. Start thinking about putting your mind toward how you're going to address it. So we'll hope that the appeal that I hope is going to be filed straightens this out for them. But understand, they've been interfered with this entire time and likely have not been able to freely associate or speak since the indictment. Again, on what is being reported is unproven allegations. So what I'm observing about the conspiracy to act charge, if it's true, then that might be defeated with a pre-plea remedy and avoidance based upon the claim in the complaint that the conspiracy was fulfilled and not pending. Remember, conspiracy two is not quite yet done. It's a charge to stop it before it happens. If the complaint comes in and says the conspiracy was fulfilled, you might very well get rid of that conspiracy two part. Read very carefully what the law is. Be ready to put that forward. The charge of acting as an agent may need to go through the court, but as you've been hearing, that is more clearly discerned by the juries to not exist, and there is an acquittal about that. So it may be why the latest Tim Pool is a tool indictment made these people victims instead. So this case that we're talking about happened before. They get down the road a piece, and they get into Tim Pool tenant group, but all of a sudden they just present them as victims, dupes. Now those people will still suffer the consequences for the allegations and the speculations you heard. It wasn't even anything. Unproven associations, like I pointed out, the disgraceful Glenn Beck and the government video platforms did after this. No due process whatsoever, they lose. But the government goes after those tied to the legal entity and its owners and doesn't lose the conspiracy point, which brings the entire thing into question when the government tries and loses, as it did in this case. So this case, I think, instructed the government on how to do things a little different. We're watching that in the last case, like the Tim Pool case, or the Tenet Media case, that same case I talked about last episode. So just look at this, listen if you can, and follow. I hope it was clear enough. Look to see how they're doing this. They call conspiracy to do something, but they also in the complaint say that it happened. That should get rid of the first one. The conspiracy, there's not going to be evidence for. You might want to press to quash that as well and get rid of the other second charge or cause a question or whatever you can do to suggest that to somebody to throw it out there. These challenges are happening before you plea. You're not even at the jurisdiction yet. And so this is a very important thing to start understanding how to get at these. These are the weapons that the government's now using to come after the people and their ability to acquire information or to send it out, to spread it around. And so this is very important. It's a big threat to the people, we the people, such that we is. And that's what, again, another reason why they go after it this way, because they know it takes a lot of organization. And we're not people that have yet learned that. We should have stayed that way, but we didn't. So the government here is figuring out how to pick the people off that it doesn't like, and that should be concerning to everyone, it seems to me, certainly concerning to me. And given it isn't supposed to have an opinion, the government's not supposed to have an opinion on how we the people communicate amongst ourselves in a dynamic society, but the Supreme Court commercialized being a mere marketplace of ideas, as you heard that conceptualization stated in the prior tabs, these marketplace of ideas and not the vital necessity of being an informed people. We watch the commercial nature of the United States. You watch the conspiracies and the use of a trafficking or commercial jury pool because these charges are all commercial. Is your United States government yours, theirs, whatever, however we want to situate a position or something. So you start seeing a whole lot more in these stories when you start working this through. I offer this as a serious encroachment, and we have four black folks that are suffering what the recent journalists Ritter and Symes have, but they've been convicted by a jury on the conspiracy part after the fact. It's supposed to be charged before you do the conspiracy, where the act charges where they caught you. And so, anyway, again, there's just more evidence of all kinds of wrongs. I don't care how you look at this, how you slice it. No one responds when you start asking them questions about this. Certainly the attorneys can't, it seems. Well, they'll tell you something, but it ends up doesn't hold water when you do your own research. So I don't say you go to court. I'm saying be prepared, and in case you do find yourself in court, these types of analyses will help you in just about every subject matter, as I keep telling you. Once you start to see how this place is wired, it starts to give you a better opportunity to see what you need to say in other areas. And it informed me how I would explain to anybody in any particular thing, how to look at it, what to look for, and then what to synthesize to what you're going to do. And it's so important to understand you got to do that before you get involved in the case. If the court doesn't have jurisdiction, you got to start that right there. Because when you make your plea, you lose a whole lot of those avoidances go away. They're waived. And so they're better to charge them up front. You lose, fine, keep moving, but you adjust your case. As I've told you before, a pre-plea remedy and avoidance of the jurisdiction. Once they defeat you, if they defeat you, you make the record for appeal. Then you move into your plea. As soon as you make your plea, you do it on condition of the failure to properly find on the appeal. And then you move in and you do, within the court's jurisdiction, you do the very same challenges inside. And you try to salvage what remaining jurisdictional challenge you have, because as you don't use them, they fall away until you don't have many at all. They still have a few. At the very end, you'll still have some, but there's so many less. But relative to an informed public, as I've been trying to do behind the woodshed, again, there is no silver bullet because of the way this comes at us, but an informed public would really help us if we were in not just knowledge, the application. As I attempted to do, I did it. I explained it in the great Kobe Swindle. There wasn't much follow through, but I did explain it. And so we get more people to understand that in the situation that came out and how to work it through, it'll help us as a people, as the government turns its attention inside the walls of our prison. But to inform public to the ends of criminals in or influencing the government inside while it's waging a hybrid war on us, we hear the sources of those pieces of information that we need to be an informed public are being attacked. I touched on this last week. It continues again. These attacks they don't end real quickly. Margarita Simonyan recalled the powerful words of former United States President John F. Kennedy as the United States announced new punitive measures against Russian media companies. Simonyan recalled those powerful words being, listen very carefully, a reminder from the past, quote, "We are not afraid to entrust the American people with unpleasant facts, foreign ideas, alien philosophies, and competitive values. For a nation that is afraid to let its people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market is a nation that is afraid of its people," said the editor-in-chief of Rossiya Nagovnya, Sputnik's parent media group, quoting the slain politician. Quote, "They haven't killed him for nothing," she said. "He was thinking the wrong way," said Simonyan, commenting on the latest move towards censoring a Russian media company. Now, let me interject this part clearly. The United States interfering with a Russian media company, the employee of that company, not the Russian government, the employee of that company, quoting an American president, has at least got you scratching your head just a little bit on why that is not recognized within the gates as they attack people out of the gates that are informing us and reminding us. I'm reading from her words back to you what Kennedy said to us. Where have we gone as a people when that was already given to us? And in that vein, to counter the killing of the messengers, this broadcast, displayed in every broadcaster in recent years, is committed, at least in part, to fulfilling the congressional intention of engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work, evolutionarily, behind the woodshed, whether against enemies foreign or domestic, or both, or neither. As I'm using these Russian media almost perpetually to show us there's a view out of the world looking at us, we're missing for ourselves. And they're being attacked by this government called the United States government. And what's interesting about RT uses articles from all over the world. It's not just their stuff. What I find fascinating is the Washington Post may attack RT. Well, RT posts Washington Post's things, articles, topics. So, let's look clearly here. The attack is real here. It's very dangerous what's going on. And I think we can see that the duplicitous United States government is afraid to let the people judge the truth and falsehood in an open market and is a malign influence organization that they point their finger out to everyone else in an open cognitive warfare with the American people to defeat them. And I'm hoping people start to appreciate the seriousness of all that's happening. We may look really myopically, oh, it's Trump, this, that, and the other. No, this is a government gone bad, terribly bad, rogue. It is going to bring on serious problems, or at least it's certainly threatening them. I don't know where it goes because these people really are psychopaths. They have no basis, they have no morality at all in them. It's just like some animal. They just go after what they want. And we could also take a note of the treatment here as we walk going to this hybrid war and the use of the cognitive warfare against us and the people. As I said, the juries are primed to receive these and accept a lot of these charges without critically thinking about them at all. Certainly the judges are not there to stand in the gap at all. But we can learn, as they don't want us to know the torture techniques, we can learn the techniques of these corrupt people in the government utilizing the force and power of government to destroy other people, even inside our gates, particularly eventually to all of it inside our gates. And we can expect in this war what's in this next report here, RT employee beaten by FBI agents during a raid in Miami. And yes, I did find it from a couple different sources. I couldn't find anything more than just reference sources, but I did find it picked up by different places from different places. So I'm going to go with this just to let us know to expect this. We may hear that the FBI is working up and up, but I've heard and we've experienced quite a few things that that's contrary, and I want this one to go out with this RT attack. Again, remember, no foreign interference has been found by an agency doing an investigation about that. Well, these agencies, the FBI and the CIA, are saying that they're there and blaming everybody else. So an employee of the Russian news outlet RT was assaulted by armed FBI agents during a raid on her Miami home, the broadcaster reported. The woman, whose identity remains undisclosed for security reasons, was asleep when approximately 20 FBI agents entered her residence early in the morning to conduct a search. According to RT's report on Telegram, the woman was not permitted to dress before the search began and was subjected to physical assault. She stated that the FBI agents conducted a search of her body under a search warrant. Afterward, they interrogated her for nearly 5 hours, asking detailed questions about RT's editor-in-chief, Margarita Simonian, and other top executives. The agents also seized her phone and other devices, scrutinized her communications, and showing in particular interest in former U.S. Marine and intelligence officer Scott Ritter, who is now a columnist for RT and not, again, this is how quickly this is coming, as well as a news outlet the news outlet's financial sources. Despite the lengthy interrogation, no formal charges were brought against the RT employee. Here we have it again, the same problem over and over. However, due to the growing concerns of her safety, she reportedly fled the United States. And I don't know why the word fled's there, but she decided, as they're describing it, that she left the United States for her safety. On September 4th, the U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions targeting Simonian and several other deputies. In response, Simonian stated that there's no sanctions would succeed in silencing Russia's Rossiya Nagodnaya media group or RT. Here's where the battle becomes. Can you stay away long enough to continue your voice? The United States, the beacon of democracy, the beacon of freedom, is silencing all of these. Again, I'm floored to hear, not that I'm floored to hear the report, but I'm floored to see they continue after the report that says there was no outside interference and then start blaming everybody outside. Speaking before of favored treatment and presidential pardons, will Trump pardon himself? These are very interesting times, aren't they? I have to just chuckle just a bit. This is going to be very interesting to watch. And regarding the time here of the Biden crime family exploits in Burisma, we're going to see maybe a couple of things going on. I want you to not forget also regarding to Burisma in Ukraine, the Metabiota Biolabs in Ukraine as well, that was all at the same time, kind of goes underneath the skin of all this. We kind of forget about this. The breaking news, Hunter Biden pleads guilty to tax evasion. Okay, so not like I said, not so breaking, but I couldn't fit it in last week. Lawyers for the United States President Joe Biden's son have told a federal court that he is prepared to plead guilty to charges of tax evasion, eliminating the need for a trial. I pause. You think? Uh-huh. Eliminating the need for a trial. According to his lawyers, Abby Loyal, Biden wanted to submit an Alford plea, accepting a guilty verdict while maintaining he did nothing wrong. Prosecutors said it was the first time they were hearing of this, and the court then went into recess. Let me interject. You almost see right here the commercial nature of these crimes, notwithstanding that it is a tax case. But you'll see that Alford plea is general across the board. You'll see these crime statutes in federal government are typically, I think most all of them, are commercial-based. So you see that right there. Here, a corporation. You have corporations of people, too. We will accept the guilty, but we will not accept that we had any wrongdoing. We did nothing wrong, right? So this is notice these things in the notice to us of what's happening, has happened in this country and where we really are. Charges against Biden include the 3 felonies and 6 misdemeanors, including tax evasion, failure to pay, failure to file, and filing a false return. According to the prosecutors, the sitting president's son, quote, engaged in a 4-year scheme to not pay at least $1.4 million in self-assessed federal taxes he owed for tax years 2016 to 2019, spending, quote, millions of dollars on an extravagant lifestyle rather than paying his tax bills. Well, if he would have done that, situated that right, he could have just written all that off, couldn't he? Well, so maybe you're not so intelligent either. However, during this period, Biden served on the boards of Ukrainian energy company Burisma and the Chinese company CEFC, China Energy Company Limited. He faces a maximum of 17 years if convicted. So now the Biden laundry won't be aired out, will it? And just in time for his father could pardon him. Because though he said he wouldn't, who are you going to call? So watch this. The end of this year is going to be very interesting in how all this works out. I guess it'll have to go through, if Trump wins, it'll happen after the first of the year for him, if he's going to pardon himself. Boy. And of the sanctions here to obstruct information that's being done by hook or by crook, or just speculation, just conjecture, allegation. I guess you have to have an allegation, but when it's unsupported by anything, just someone says, just because they have a badge on their belt or something, this has really gotten to the point where that's beyond, that the accountability needs to be brought back. But importantly to all this, and the U.S. government infringing upon the right to acquisition and discernment. Remember that First Amendment, so important. You get those three or four things that need to happen all together. You need to be free to do them all for yourself on your own. And all the government's doing while denying it is doing any of that infringement. We have a call from a sanctioned organization. It was written by Victoria Nikiforova of RIA. Again, nothing happening outside, but they're all being blamed for it. Victoria writes, "The naked truth is the worst and most obscene thing possible for Western propagandists. The famous joke about Russian tankers at the Reichstag or Capitol looking at the Russian flag flying above the dome and sighing, 'And yet, Vasya, we lost the information war,' was recently taken on new colors. Our media holding Rossiya Segnogodnya received another package of sanctions. Telegram founder Pavel Durov was locked up in France, and now the Wall Street Journal, the mouthpiece of Anglo-Saxon propaganda, has published a huge article against Sergei Kirienko. It turns out that this, quote, hunter of American minds is going to influence the U.S. presidential election. We have nothing else to do in Russia, honestly. Actually, we are used to the fact that on the eve of every presidential election, the Washington regime gets aggravated. They start catching Russian spies like a patient with a white fever catches devils. They already had Trump as a Russian spy, and Russian hackers did something bad to Hillary since 2016, and we've heard a lot of nonsense. Now, there's a new convulsive attack. The Wall Street Journal believes that Sergei Kirienko is the curator of more than 30 American websites, and these sites are insidiously, under the guise of an innocent news agenda, pouring ideological poison into the virgin ears of ordinary Americans. For example, remember I said that the government, United States government, thinks you are incompetent. You're a child. This is reflecting that in the virgin ears of American, of ordinary Americans. For example, they draw attention to the inflation and the furious rise of prices for food and essential goods in the United States, and these websites mention the unheard of high interest rates on loans and mortgages, or they take on the sacred. They express doubts about the need for a critical race theory according to which all white Americans owe blacks their lives, or about the need to change the sex of young children. But I'm sorry, these are all harsh realities of life. Inflation and gender reassignment in children, and millions of Americans don't like it. They have never faced such a set of problems in their lives. On the other hand, impoverishment, which has not been seen since the oil crisis in the early 70s, and on the other, absolutely monstrous propaganda of perversion, which seems to have become the main mission of the Washington Committee. Such a set in their history simply never existed. No wonder the American citizen is shocked. And then a paradoxical situation arises. Tens of millions of people in the United States try to speak out against the policy of their state, but all of them are immediately declared Russian spies. By this logic, everyone who didn't vote for Biden in 2020 is a Russian spy, and those who won't vote for Kamala and Mean Harris are too. Do you have any non-spies left? It looks as if half the country is digging a tunnel under the Atlantic to urgently inform the Kremlin of the sensitive information, what Biden Sr. had for dinner and what his son had for dinner. At the same time, the White House proclaimed itself a bastion of democracy and a defender of freedom of speech around the world. And if anything, it rushes to defend with the javelins and tomahawks in such a way that no stone is left unturned. The whole world sees the deep schizophrenia that afflicts American propaganda today. This is what makes it so helpless and not the insidious machinations of Russians. Deep schizophrenia. The United States government and its operatives or media are a recognized mental case. Again, coming from that organization across the pond, another country looking over here that is explaining what it observes is not allowed to us. Recognized mental cases, psychopaths. But don't laugh, it reflects my listener here as well, either as its willing victim or unwitting and clueless passenger. Understand what the government's done to you when they start doing all this to those people and even to ourselves now. Black or white. There's a feeling that at the beginning of the SMO that the West markedly overestimated its capabilities. They sincerely believe that the Anglo-Saxon media can pass off any lie as truth, convince the rest of the world of anything, and make everyone believe the most vile and vulgar nonsense. The main thing is to lie bravely so that no one has a time to object. That's why all these daring campaigns of fake it any started, then Bukcha, and then kidnapping of toilet bowls by Russian soldiers. They lied like crazy to the UN to discuss their lies, replicated the most unspeakable, shameful nonsense, not caring about the slightest plausibility. Against this background, Russian information policy did look a bit boring. We explained, proved, and pointed out inconsistencies. Our president personally lectured on history. All this was difficult, long, and somehow lost against the background of dashing cavalry raids by the Western liars. But a drop sharpens a stone. Russian newspapers and TV channels told the truth, and it has an undeniable superiority over the most cleverly crafted and most gambling lies. The Western public was so tired of the lies poured into their ears by their native media that they began to turn more and more often to Russian sources. They read Russian Telegram, then Google translated articles in our RIA, and they found what they couldn't find in their own media, honest information about what is really going on in the world. Let me highlight that. In the world, they're not saying about in America here. This editor is saying we did it around the world, information everywhere. The naked truth is the worst and most indecent thing for Western propagandists. They fear it like hell, because when they encounter it, all the crazy constructions they have made up fall apart, and their whole fictional world collapses. American propaganda, together with its state, has long passed the peak of its power. Any educated, independently thinking person today sees all its secrets and deceptions, does not fall for its flattery, and does not fall for its threats. And in this is logical. Before it collapses, any empire loses its influence on minds, its charm, its soft power, and becomes an object of ridicule and contempt. All this is a natural process, and any word of truth spoken in Russian or China or Cuba or Ukraine, in France or the United States, kills the dying leviathan of post-truth. Russian intellectuals are making their own contribution to this endeavor. Today, we have every chance to rewrite the old joke and win our information war. What an embarrassment we the people have become, it seems to me as I read that. From whatever source, yes, even Russian ones, and in particular, when obstructed here by schizophrenic psychopaths, please choose ye this day, the truth or the trope. We are in a world of hurt in this country where the beacon of freedom has really gotten broke. The bulb broke, and we haven't been able to replace it. Speaking of that beacon and watching it fail, the height of hypocrisy, or hypocrisy, I guess it is, a government run by hypocrites. White House responds to Putin's support for Harris. Russian President Vladimir Putin has no business commenting on the U.S. presidential race ahead of the November 5th vote, White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby has said. His remark came shortly after the Russian president said Moscow would be rooting for Democratic nominee Kamala Harris, where the Russian president added that since the incumbent U.S. president had called on his supporters to back Kamala Harris as the new Democratic hopeful, the Kremlin was inclined to do the same. According to Putin, the way Harris laughs so infectiously suggests that everything is going well for her. We also expressed hope that Harris's positive disposition could mean that she would refrain from imposing as many sanctions on Russia as former United States President Donald Trump. When asked whether he would call to congratulate the eventual winner in November, the Russian head of state replied, quote, "In the end, the choice is up to the American people, and we will treat their eventual decision with respect," Putin concluded. Speaking to reporters on Thursday, Kirby said, "Mr. Putin ought to stop talking about our elections, period. He shouldn't be favoring anybody one way or another." Quote, "And we would greatly appreciate it if Mr. Putin would, A, stop talking about our election, and B, stop interfering in it," the White House representative reiterated. Let me interject that report says there hasn't been any interference. So, back to this. So maybe the U.S. government can take its own advice, it would seem, A, stop funding the overthrows of foreign governments, and B, stop meddling in the elections, and in particular, those of American states, and those also C, stop lying and promoting misinformation about how the U.S. president and vice president are elected. Not voted, elected. We have a different system in this country. He stated that the only people who would determine the outcome of the presidential election were the American people. But that's not true. All American people do not determine the outcome of the presidential election, with all due respect to Vladimir Putin. Only some Americans determine the outcome. The American electors, chosen by either of the two parties of the Electoral College, determine the outcome. Electoral College is a concept. It's not even enumerated. So Putin and Kirby have it wrong here. But anyone else having this wrong can continue to support the democracy hypocrisy and just vote harder, folks, because that's what you're going to be doing. The majority of people don't vote for the president. The Electoral College, the members, do. They're elected offices. And speaking of relying upon hypocrisies, Israel wants the U.S. to put pressure on the South Africa to scrap the ICJ genocide case. Fascinating. What's going on here? South Africa. Remember now, Israel doesn't recognize the ICJ, but it's going to ask the United States to put pressure on something it doesn't recognize. Nor does the USA. South Africa brought a claim of Israel's genocidal intent in Gaza before the ICJ on December 29, 2023, in response to the surging civilian death toll in the besieged Palestinian enclave. The Israeli foreign minister has urged members of the United States Congress to make South Africa drop its case at the International Court of Justice, which accuses the Jewish state of violating its obligations under the 1948 Genocide Convention over its month-long operation in Gaza Strip. Quote, "We are asking you to immediately work with lawmakers on the federal and state level, with governors and Jewish organizations, to put pressure on South Africa to change its policy towards Israel," the Israeli statement reads. I mean, just interject, and it's a question. If the states did that, that would be a violation of American law, wouldn't it? That's why we have Washington, D.C., it's a district that it looks outward. The states are supposed to look there. That would be a violation, wouldn't it, what they're asking us to do here? The Israeli diplomats were instructed to let South Africa diplomats currently working with the U.S. know that, quote, "continuing their current actions like supporting the Palestinian military movement Hamas and pushing anti-Israel moves in international courts will come with a heavy price and could lead to a suspension of Washington-Pretoria trade relations." That's a suggestion to commit a war crime. But anyway, moving on. It doesn't seem to matter. Like I said, sanctions, that was a direct, not a proxy war with Ukraine, with Russia. Sanctions is a direct economic war. It's supposed to be forbidden. However, the United States is unlikely to follow through with a drastic measure since Washington seeks to, quote, "maintain its relationship with South Africa in order to counter the influence of Russia and China." And there's the big play right there. Exactly. So if it is a fact, though, that the U.S. is unlikely to follow through, where is the United States government to condemn the Zionist Federation movement operating under color of a legitimate government from threatening a sovereign nation with the power of the United States as an agent of U.S. sovereignty? Is proof that the Biden regime no longer has any respect for Americans and only interested in projecting the power of an international thug controlled by the Zionist organized crime syndicate. And for its part, the legislative arm of the organized crime syndicate, the Congress of the Compromise, is okay with misrepresenting you, not representing you as a constitutionally established. It will misrepresent you and not do what they were supposed to do under the Constitution. And we sit quietly by and watch it. So, keep voting harder to keep the domestic enemy and congressional Zionista gang members in those offices of profit, aiding a foreign enemy and its disgraceful international prostitutes. And I don't mean to insult those engaged in one of the oldest professions in the world, international congressional and administrative prostitutes, the second oldest profession, not the respectable, hardworking professionals of the first oldest. Hypocrisy, I guess it is, though. Palestinian man found dead in Belgian park with hands, feet tied, suggesting suicide. You can't make this stuff up, folks. A Palestinian man was found dead in the park in the Belgian city of Antwerp with his hands and feet tied, leaving the cause of his death a mystery amid authorities suggesting that it may have been a suicide. Although no ID documents were found on him, it was later reportedly identified as he was identified as 26-year-old Palestinian man who was, according to some reports, an asylum seeker rather than a resident of Belgium. The fact that the deceased man had his hands and feet tied at the time of his death has led many in the public, including investigators, to treat the death as murder. Authorities have played down the possibility, however, that the spokesperson of Antwerp's public prosecutor's office, Christoph Eretz, telling the Brussels Times newspaper that Wednesday that I understand that there's a lot of wild stories going on around social media. A judicial investigation was started with the investigative judge, public prosecutor, lab, forensic doctor, and investigators on site. This showed that several tracks are possible. 2 days later, the federal Eretz stated that the autopsy did not clarify the cause of death, so all leads remain open, with it apparently being possible that the Palestinian man died by suicide, despite his hands being tied. The puzzling thing is that they repeat that despite his hands and feet being tied, it could still be suicide without providing, for instance, on how that could possibly be so. Except that there's no mention of a shotgun being nearby, and just out of reach, and no rope that was found around the neck. So I wonder if these folks are from the Bill and Hillary School, Clinton School of Crime Scene Analysis to consider it suicide. We just don't have enough information, I don't think, quite yet. And more confirmation, the U.S. government is compromised, and more particularly to a global Zionista cartel bankster interest, and what the Ukraine war is all about, we can read, again, from the Russian newspapers. We don't hear a lot of this stuff from our organic native newspapers that identified from there to here. And if we have it here, I'd want to hear more people to bring it up, but we don't, and I don't. I can't find it. How the Rothschilds crashed in on the Ukraine since neo-Nazi coup in 2014. The famous Jewish banking family has been deeply involved in Ukraine's affairs since the 2014 coup d'etat, despite Ukraine's embracing neo-Nazi collaborators as its national heroes. Try to wrap your mind around this, and when you figure out you can't, you're going to start to untie the narrative of the world. How they work both ends against the middle. They're not any of it. Multinational asset firm Rothschild & Company was instrumental in the restructuring of Ukraine's $20-plus billion debt in July 2024, according to the Western press. It had reportedly been involved in arranging face-to-face meetings between Ukrainians and asset management firms, including BlackRock and Amundi, less than 2 months before the two-year payment moratorium expired on August 1st. The Rothschilds reportedly engaged IMF experts in the talks while the plan for grabbing Russia's frozen sovereign assets was also on the table. The Klan is believed to be cashing in on the Eastern European state through various schemes, including the future, quote, restoration of Ukraine. Then Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko tapped a Rothschild and C to sell his assets in 2014. It turned out later that the companies were sold but handed over to the Rothschilds Trust. Rothschilds first offered to mediate Ukraine's talk with creditors on the restructuring of the country's debt in 2015. So they didn't restructure that debt without forbidden usurious loans of a pre-existing usurious forbidden loan either. So remember, the Catholic Church forbade usury interest, being it is immoral to charge interest on a loan, in part because to take usury for money lent is unjust in itself, because this is to sell what does not exist, and this evidently leads to inequality, which is contrary to justice. Follow that logic. But the Church allowed, if imperfectly, as I use it here, the money changers, so-called Jews, to do so, to charge the usury. Wash their hands of it, right? That would be also an unjust agency, to my mind, and forbidden as well, but who am I to be compared to the infallible ones, right? In 2017, Rothschild S.P.A. won the bidding for investment in banking services to Ukraine's oil and gas company, Naftogaz. The same year, the supervisory board of Ukraine's state-owned lending Privat Bank asked a consortium of Rothschild EY and FinPoint companies to restructure its funds. You're getting how to do this, folks? I'm telling you how to do that. Not to be a Rothschild, because he's already got there. What I'm saying is how you set yourself up so you can get all this stuff done. Ukrainian tycoon Thor Kolomoisky also reached out to the Rothschilds when seeking to regain a 25% stake in Privat for his former asset in 2019. And I'm not telling a whole lot of these people are all involved. They all got a lot of trouble, lots of court cases going, a lot of crime going on, a lot of corruption. I'm just going to go through this story here to let you know who's involved, who's been involved, who's going to be involved in the future, and how they go about doing it. And a nice, concise little news notice article to you. In July 2017, the Ukrainian Prime Minister Volodymyr Groysman reportedly held a private meeting with Nathaniel Jacob Rothschild in London. Former Ukrainian People's Deputy Oleg Tsarev suggested at the time that Groysman wanted Rothschild to make him the next president. Well, in fact, I think it's the Kolomoisky gentleman that helps Zelensky in. In July 2023, Russian pranksters Vladimir Kuznetsov, Vovan, and Alexander Stolyarov, Alexis, tricked Alexander de Rothschild, the executive chairman of Rothschild & Company, who told them that the banking clan has cooperated with the Kiev regime since 2017. Quote, "We had excellent relationships with people in your government. We were mainly involved in attracting and lending funds," the Rothschild told Vovan and Lexus, thinking that he was talking to Volodymyr Zelensky. De Rothschild told the pranksters that the family company intends to take a part in the, quote, "the restoration of Ukraine, including in energy, housing, and construction and logistics." You expressed the need for reconstruction financing, and in the total amount of more than $750 billion starting in 2023, for a period of about 10 years, and this is quite adequate, the banker said. So now consider the various wars fomented at home to your destruction and how and who here is taking the benefit. And do not underestimate that the war declared against you in 1913, the establishment of the fiat currency control system used today to perpetuate all manner of destruction of your lives and that of your fathers and mothers and your fathers and mothers' mothers before them, in particular, controlling the very government that was to represent them and you, not the so-called Jew, actually an irreligious Zionist usurper of extraordinary undue influence. And I don't say that without any authority. We have been warned. We can go read Revelation 3:9. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie." So it's part why I make the distinction between Jew and any Zionista. And let me offer another guidance. I'll read the New Living Bible version here because it's easier to understand for broadcast purposes without changing the interpretation in so many different words. And despite I'm not a fan of Paul so much, actually, we are. It's instructive, so some of us can take wise counsel from it as well. In Romans 2:28-29, for you are not a Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. 29, no, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. So a Jew isn't someone merely claiming the status either. And listen to what I'm saying relative to what's going on in the world today. And we must be very careful not to cast aspersions or so as to judge not that ye be not judged. So we are almost never reading about the Jews in the news, but the secular or political misrepresentation of Jewishness. Those of the synagogue of Satan know this deception and use it, while the ignorant, or willfully so, embrace it. And the fallen dominate things of the world because they know you better than yourselves, as I've been saying through that document, Protocols of the Elders of Zion, if you read it as a humanity frailty manual, and we can prove it every day using the products of the fiat currency that we do in the monetary system. They know us better than ourselves. We will refuse to not use that. No, we can't. Choose ye this day. Choose ye this day. We could choose to do so, but we choose not. And by that, we're going to be judged. But we are judged. Even if you don't get religious, you'll be judged because we already know a debtor is not a master. You're subject to who lends you money. In this case, who gives you the product of what you use as money that's not money. That's a lot. This is episode BTW RLM 594. So what does that look like in the world when debt can't repay debt? It's in the next article. Notice in the news here, the newsticle article. The newsstis, I guess. Ukraine will pay more interest on loans to the IMF than it will receive money. By the end of 2024, Ukraine will have to repay more than the new $1.1 billion loan tranche to the International Monetary Fund, the paper said. That is, Ukraine's payments in September-December by $200 million will exceed the tranche that the government agreed with the IMF but has not yet received it. Just to remind you, Bloomberg earlier mentioned that in order to reduce the Ukrainian budget deficit, the International Monetary Fund intends to put pressure on Ukraine to speed up currency devaluation, cut interests, and raise taxes. So there you go, folks. Increase taxes. Enjoying wrongful extortions of every kind and to no other. That's a U.S. civil right that keeps on taking now worldwide. How do all men say Blinken know to agree to that economic punishment and pains and taxes for future global imposition during a civil war when endorsing the loss restated at 42 U.S.C. 1981? You hear me say over and over on this broadcast. Or are we seeing more clearly the servitude connected to the United States municipal products? Or when agreeing to deal with the United States privateer monetary monopoly and fiscal products authorized from there? What's in your wallet, folks? Fiat, debt, or sound money? And so goes your so-called rights, which are actually, in this sense, privileges, obligations, and duties to your master, be it fiat or debt. And you heard that very same thing when you read, if you go read Agenda 2030, you get down two-thirds to three-quarters of the way through, you'll see exactly what's right there. How'd that go international? Kind of an interesting question. How did the Libra Code go international? And how is it playing in the world? That it's playing in the world. Who is this family that's in the world? Well, how can they hold over so much time that you and I have no clue about? Now, on the other hand, I've repeatedly and routinely explained that production is wealth and control, both internally and to a lesser extent externally, because it depends on who wants your products. External controls, or at least their geopolitical effect here, when not servient to a monetary master, and that the so-called multipolar world, actually the bringing of parity for equal future global financial system, sustainable sovereign servitude is being built here. What's going on today? Russia force majeure on resource exports could clobber Western economies. Here's why. So we have it, it's not unheard of, but here we see now that Russia comes into a position of control a bit. And why? Because of what it produces and what's needed in the world that it can produce. So this is all rolling out fairly much like I've been saying. It takes a while to see the news to come along to explain it to people if they haven't seen the writings before. Investors and market experts are buzzing over the Russian president's instructions to Prime Minister Mnuchin to whip up a report on the measures Russia could take to limit the export of certain strategic minerals in response to Western sanctions policy, with uranium stocks enjoying an immediate price surge and observers warning of shortages and hefty prices increases for strategic metals if Moscow were to move forward with the restrictions. Along with the nickel, titanium, and uranium, Putin hinted that other resources may be affected, while emphasizing that restrictions should be considered so long as this does not harm us, Russia. A resource superpower, Russia is endowed with substantial reserves of virtually all the primary commodities required to keep a modern economy functioning. The partial breakdown in ties with the Western countries after 2022 showed that while Russia can indefinitely survive without Western technology, technological and consumer goods, the same cannot be said of the West when it comes to Russian oil, gas, uranium, fertilizers, and other materials. The U.S., for instance, continues to rely on Russian uranium to fuel its nuclear power plants, vowing to wean itself off its dependency only by 2028. We may not be existent at that time, do you think? We may not make it to 2030. How about that? We'll see. Europe, having largely cut itself off from Russia's cheap and dependable pipeline-delivered natural gas, is currently buying record volumes of Russian LNG amid shortages of U.S. and Gulf source supplies. Quote, the pain, that's your civil right, remember? Pains, punishment, pains, and taxes. The pain of a Russian freeze on a strategic resource exports would be felt by both the U.S. and the EU and all countries listed as unfriendly to Russia, as they would have to source the required elements from third country suppliers, and that would entail an appreciable price increase for the commodity and the extended supply chain costs that entails. Let me remind you of Africa coming to its own right now and where that's probably going to have to go. In every instance, the end user pays this mandatory unlegislated tax bill in the form of even higher inflation, hinting that the higher commodity prices would add to the pain already being experienced by producers and consumers in the Western countries as a consequence of the 2.5-year-old hybrid war against Russia. Goncharov, general director of consulting firm Goncharov LLCC, said, commenting on Putin's proposal, the U.S. and Europe would expect a 15% and 20% bump in the cost of its strategic resource imports if Moscow moves ahead with its restrictions, especially since Russia is in a unique position globally in the production of high-quality nickel, aviation-grade titanium, and enriched uranium, says Maxim Kutilov, chief strategist of VectorX, a Moscow-based investment and brokerage firm. Russia, over the short term, could lose a bit of its export revenues if resource exports to the West were suddenly curtailed, Kutilov noted. But, on the other hand, what do we need export revenues for? Generally speaking, the whole point of international trade for us is to sell raw materials in exchange for technology. Western countries have refused to supply us with technology, basically going back to 2014. Then the question is, why do we need to continue to supply them with strategic raw materials? To get some green pieces of paper, which they then seize from us? This is a rather strange position. Therefore, here it is turning out that since they limit our access to technology, we are starting to limit their access to raw materials, Kutilov said. Let me interject. They're turning their attention to other countries that provide the technology. So we can see here, to a nation, cash is not king in today's world. The product of technology is. Then we don't need no stinking green debt. What we're hearing here, why do we even put up with it? But at any rate, these people know what they're doing. The U.S. government sanctions only bring economic destruction and hardship to Americans, whether directly or collaterally, no matter which country here they are applied to. All tariffs will do is that the American public, the American consumer, the American taxpayer will simply pay a lot more for whatever they need and whatever they need to buy, said international business consultant George Kuh, referring to the heavy taxes on Chinese goods levied under the Trump administration and maintained by his successor, U.S. President Joe Biden, and their failure to break its dependence on the main manufacturing powerhouse that China is, being the producer it is now is, has become through this, puts them in a power position, although they are still hybridized in their economy. We're watching the China have some adjustment pains, and we'll have to watch that. I'm not sure where that all goes, but quote, it can't be said that all these possible restrictions on the Americans and Europeans are critical and would kill their industry, because it won't, but it will add very serious difficulties, first and foremost of an organizational nature, because they would have to look for a supplier of comparable quality and, of course, pay a price they're not accustomed to paying. Because when a force majeure occurs on the market, and for them this is what can constitute a force majeure, any normal businessman will be obliged to take advantage of their status as an alternative supplier. Most of the alternative suppliers are located in China, with whom the Americans are in the process of kicking off the global trade war with, the Observer stressed. So all this is to say, you in America don't keep the Republic, didn't protect your sound monetary system, didn't protect and keep your manufacturing base, and you are all about to feel the price of those failures as the world transforms to centralized, normalized economies to bring America low, to establish economic global parity in order to mine the labors of people for the global good. Monitored here through the Siberian Gulag, the wardens of which are a foreign banking cartel, hidden from view through your phone cell. As Putin told a British dairyman, I remember here watching a video, he was a British dairyman immigrant to Russia during one of those Marathon Putin Speaks conferences a couple years ago. The English socialist benefits trained dairyman complaining that the Russian government hadn't provided his sons some sort of educational benefit. Putin's response, "Do you like making milk?" he asked the dairyman, who answered in the affirmative, to which Putin responded, "Then keep making milk," is what you can expect to receive in the very near future if Americans don't figure this out. Stop the hemorrhaging created by these enemies from within. It takes a step to cure the open wound that is bleeding this nation out of any of its vitality. And as I understand it, one way the U.S. could change this immediately is to reinstitute a gold-based monetary system which would create a sound foundation for all other productions globally, all other productions to be based, not just a bit of gold backing in the bottom of a basket of fiat, but complete backing, salvaging what's left of a real dollar. I'll call it for the purpose here, what they call the U.S. dollar. Actually, gold back at 100%. If you look very carefully, they're only proposing right now that I think it's Kazan is now purporting this currency be backed by 40%. United States has a chance to throw it to Hail Mary this, and it'll be a little bit painful. The sound money accounting would immediately reduce the size of government, so we got to be ready for that, which I think a lot of us would be, which would then have the follow-on effect of defunding that military-industrial complex and bringing into prominence the question, where the means to make war is absent, is it better than to make peace, make friends, and more importantly, turn attention again to support Americans at home, destroying the Siberian gulag of foreign entanglement and perpetual programmable weaponized debt to get the government out of the way, allowing Americans to produce for themselves what they need to survive, not hobbled by this government interference that we've been living under for 100 years, because in a sound money environment, government is too small to effectively interfere, unlike what we the people have experienced over these 100 or so more years since the institution of 1913 of the Federal Reserve Central Bank System. So I think the temporary pain associated with the sound money restoration is preferable to the pain and suffering of So I think these temporary pain associated with the sound money restoration is preferable to the pain, suffering, and death due to perpetual wars if you sit back and take a look at what they're actually doing in the world. Now, a perpetual force majeure, it may be, but Putin. NATO's approval of the use of long-range missiles by Ukraine will mean it is at war with Russia. Very serious development here. I'm a little bit tossed on what they're going to do because of the saber-rattling cognitive warfare the West does, and that's about all it can do. But this is a very serious problem that's developed. We're coming out to say that Putin is now recognizing to the West, you're going to have a real serious problem. Allowing Kiev to use Western weapons systems to strike Russian territory will effectively mean NATO's direct participation in the conflict against Russia. Let me highlight I'm going to read another tab. That gets moved right to the title. He kind of covered it right here. This effectively means NATO's direct participation in the conflict against Russia. An attempt to substitute concepts is being made because we are not talking about authorizing or prohibiting the Kiev regime from striking Russia territory. It already does so with the help of drones and other means. But when we're talking about the use of Western-made long-range precision weapons, it's a different matter entirely, Putin said in an interview with Russian television on Thursday. So here's another point about knocking out Russian sources. If we're cut out of being able to see Russian TV, and some of you that can speak Russian cannot hear what he's saying there, we could not get this message back out. And this is partly what they don't want us, these governments don't want us to know, how serious this could actually be and how to interpret, how Russia is interpreting it and what they might do. I've told you, don't underestimate them just responding to protect themselves. Quote, I have already mentioned this, and experts will confirm, both in our country and in the West, that the Ukrainian's army is not capable of independently carrying out strikes using Western modern long-range precision systems. It cannot do this. This is possible only with the use of intelligence from the satellites with Ukraine, which Ukraine does not have. This data is only available for satellites of the European Union or the United States. In other words, from NATO satellites. That's the first point, Putin said. The second and very important, perhaps key point, is that only NATO servicemen can make flight assignments to these missile systems. Ukrainian servicemen cannot do this, Putin said. So this is not about whether or not to allow Ukrainian regime to strike Russia under using these weapons, but about deciding whether or not NATO countries are directly involved in the military conflict or not. If such a decision is taken, it will mean nothing short of direct participation of NATO countries, the United States, European countries, in the war in Ukraine. This could constitute their direct participation, and this, of course, changes the very essence, the very nature of the conflict. It will mean that NATO countries, NATO countries, the United States and European countries are at war with Russia. I want you to hear this, folks. This is how they're taking this, not how what we think about. And I told you this a long time ago when this thing started, after I got my attitude corrected about what I thought or didn't think about Russia do, the very first broadcast after they went into the Donbass, I said, wow, here's what they did. Here's what's going on. This is way quicker than we had been told, and they mean it. That they've been slow, it seems, is up to them to decide. So don't put our opinion on what they think they need to do for themselves. But it goes on this last little bit. And if this is so, bearing in mind that the change in the very nature of the conflict, we will make appropriate decisions based on the threats that will be posed to us. And so I add another article here because I do think it's very important if anyone but the West sees this problem, and subsequent reports highlight the extreme danger that the psychopaths are walking the world into here. Putin issues a new warning to NATO, long-range strikes against Russia would mean direct involvement in the Ukraine conflict. So the media is bringing this right up to the top now. It's not hidden in his dialogue and discussion. So it doesn't seem like there's any question here now. NATO will be in direct involvement. It's a direct war. Folks, this is a direct war with Russia. Removing restrictions of Ukraine's use of Western weapons could directly involve the United States and its allies in the conflict with Russia, which would be met with an appropriate response. The West has sent Ukraine long-range missiles such as Storm Shadows and ATACMs, which Kiev has so far used against Crimea and Donbass. In the past several days, however, the United States and UK have suggested that they might allow these weapons to be used to strike targets deeper into internationally recognized Russian territory. Quote, we are not talking about allowing or prohibiting Kiev regime from striking Russian territory, Putin said. It is doing so already with the unmanned aerial vehicles and other means. I'm highlighting this because I need you to show you the point he's making here. They already accept these attacks. This change, in their interpretation, changes everything. It's not an inconsequential thing to making even talking about this. I've told you that you can't, as the United States wants to do, create an ambiguity. You don't want to do it with these Russian folks. And I wouldn't expect it against myself. You better be nice and clear about what's supposed to happen, but you better be right about what you're doing. That's the thing I find out. People don't back themselves on what's right. And we don't see anything on the psychopaths in Washington or the West as they work and try to figure out how they want to take out Russia. It's all already been on the record. Ukraine lacks the capability of the West, of the Western range. So I've read that. I'm noticing there's a little bit of repeat here. I just wanted to highlight to you the media is now raising this direct involvement thing up on top. It's not hidden in the words. So as to this psychological warfare the West is known for, the U.S. and U.K. have so far balked at actually giving that open consent for these deep strikes. But there has been some latest reports that are saying any consent may have been given and provided in secret. So this is a very serious complication of things going on. And if you have a thought to get involved with telling people relative to anybody's seats and decision, I think it's time to start to do that. They shouldn't be pushing this hard and this close. And that has to stop. And this is, again, the habit that they now are to the point where they can allege, speculate, do everything. They can do, you know, lawfare and get people involved and tangled up with their systems. It's all wrong. Your life gets destroyed in the process, and they don't care. It's not about what we, the people, might have thought was true justice in the American way, which I think is a lot more, it has a lot better communication with Russia, someone like Russia, some country like Russia, and the people there, than the governments do with their tangled webs that they tend to weave. So as it appears, things have been turning for the worse and are not looking too good on the world war front. We can read, this is despite a meeting of Allied defense ministers last week, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin saying he did not believe providing Ukraine with long-range weapon systems would be a game changer in the grueling war anyway, not noting that Ukraine has already been able to strike inside Russia with its own internally produced systems, including drones. Quote, I don't believe one capability is going to be decisive, and I stand by that comment, Austin said. Major General Pat Ryder, Pentagon press secretary, would not say Thursday if Austin's view had changed since last week. As of right now, the policy has not changed. But this week, the U.S. and British leaders talked about the Ukraine's push to ease weapons restrictions. United States President Joe Biden and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer are meeting Friday amid an intensified push by Ukraine to loosen restrictions by using weapons provided to the United States and Britain to strike Russia. The talks come amid signs that the White House would be moving toward a shift in its policy. The Ukraine officials renewed their pleas to use the Western-provided long-range missiles against targets deeper in Russia during the week's visit to Kiev. The U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the U.K. met after what Ryder had said and what Austin had said. So Foreign Minister David Lammy and Blinken said he had no doubt that Biden and Starmer would discuss the matter during their visit, noting that the United States had adapted and will adjust as necessary as Russia's battlefield strategy has changed. So I don't know where these psychopaths have come from, folks, how they all came to the surface at the same time to affect this, but they intend for people to die and have the power to make it so, your blood and treasure, not theirs. That's what makes this so dangerous. This is what failures, if you will, if you will please consider the failures of a representative government. And that's good. That's problematic all around. If it's not representative, then it goes back to direct democracy. So you start to maybe see how the they are playing the world two ends against the middle as well. But I have to ask here, in the face of all Hades firing up the world, is this a Russian stand-up routine? As we hear, Russian sanctions will stay until U.S. collapses, Medvedev says. Neither Trump nor Harris will lift restrictions on Moscow, the former Russian president has predicted. Wide-reaching sanctions on Russia will remain in place no matter who wins the United States presidential election in November, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has said. Earlier this week, Republican president nominee Donald Trump pledged to, quote, use sanctions as little as possible, close quote, if he makes the return to the White House. In a Telegram post on Saturday, Medvedev insisted that Trump's comments does not mean that he will lift the penalties in force against Moscow. Quote, for all his apparent bravado as an outsider, in quotes, outsider, Trump is ultimately an establishment insider. Yes, he is an eccentric narcissist, but he is also a pragmatist, the official who now serves as the deputy chair of the Russian Security Council said. Understand the importance of what this guy is observing and where he's at. The former U.S. president understands that sanctions harm the dollar's role as an international reserve currency, but for him it is still an insufficient reason to stage a revolution in the United States and go against the anti-Russian line of the notorious deep state, which is much stronger than any Trump, Medvedev argued. As for the Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris, one, quote, should not expect any surprises from her, quote, close quote, if she wins the election, Medvedev predicted. She is inexperienced and, according to her enemies, just plain stupid. Beautiful, meaningless speeches and boring, correct answers to questions will be prepared for her, which she will read off in the teleprompter while laughing contagiously, he said. So these Russians are stone-faced comedians, a la Bill Hicks and George Carlin, aren't they? The former Russian president noted that the Soviet Union was under sanctions for the most of the 20th century. Now Russia is facing similar treatment from the U.S. and its allies, but on a much larger scale, unprecedented scale, he added. So it is sanctions forever, or rather until the United States collapses during an imminent new civil war. After all, Hollywood makes films about this for a reason, he wrote. He appeared to be referencing the recent Civil War movie directed by Alex Garland, which tells the story of a team of war reporters traveling across America to interview the president amid fighting between the federal government and Texas. They've been messing with Texas and California-led secessionist movement. Now, there was a bit of geopolitical hypnotic suggestion in the routine, tamping in more firmly that planted seed, that civil war. The U.S. and its allies have imposed a record 22,000 sanctions on Moscow since 2014, when Crimea rejoined Russia and the conflict between Ukraine and the Donbass republics broke out following a Western-backed coup. Boy, lightweight whiners these Russians are. Freedom-loving Americans collectively suffer that many sanctions through government regulation enforcement by the hour. The 20,000, 22,000 sanctions, stand in line, Russia. Nothing. You got nothing on us. Right, folks? Putin calls for full-scale implementation of the digital ruble, where it's all going, where it's planned to be going, why the sanctions are going to be on Russia. Bring parity. Remember, it's been done. There's an agreement underneath it all that allows Russia to be able to be sanctioned and still survive and come, actually, as you see them rise up to become another producer. That has to be production, parity production across the world. The Bank of Russia, CBDC, has proven its efficiency and functionality. And I said, watch Putin talking about wanting to be multipolar, but he's going to bring in that global financial the global financing system, a digital ruble, and you watch how Russia is right on the forefront. Despite just a couple of years ago, everyone's got, didn't understand what the thing was about. Praising the efficiency and functionality of the Bank of Russia, CBDC, Russian President Vladimir Putin instructed his government on Wednesday to prepare for the widespread introduction of the digital ruble. Quote, now we need to take the next step, namely move to a broader, full-scale implementation of the digital ruble in the economy, in business activities, and in financial sector, Putin said during a meeting on the economic issues. Since August 2023, the Bank of Russia has been conducting a pilot program for the digital ruble involving 12 banks, 600 individuals, and 22 trade service enterprises. The program will be expanded in September to include an additional 20 credit institutions. Participants will be able to make payments via QR code during the second phase testing. The law, remember, the QR code is the barcode that's moved into the three-dimensional that moves everything into, everything's a product, and that QR code form has the capacity to be able to document and inventory everything that they need to. Every atom, essentially, can be digitized and then put on the blockchain and used for these purposes, these supportive purposes. The law on the digital ruble was adopted in July 2023, designating the Bank of Russia CBDC as a third form of national currency. The CBDC will be introduced in the economy beginning 2025. So understand, you got three currencies running, and they're all the nation is quite fine with all that. The point about the digital, they're absolutely in control of all of that, completely. Sergei Markov, I watched an interview with Victoria Nuland Zeiger. I watched an interview that is just blatantly lying, she is, where and how she wants. Number one, she lies that the Russia was not accepted into NATO because it was not democratic enough. And this is a lie because everyone knows that in the 90s, the United States recognized Russia as a democracy. And everyone knows that the United States did not accept Russia into NATO because they did not want to give Russia the right to influence NATO policy. Number two, she lies that the color revolution in Ukraine was an independent choice of the people of Ukraine. After all, everyone knows that the color revolution of 2004 and then the coup d'etat in 2014 were organized and led by the United States Special Forces. Three, lies that the NATO is a defensive alliance. After all, everyone knows that an NATO has not waged a single defensive war, but it committed aggressions against Yugoslavia, against Libya, against Iraq. She lies, number four, she lies that Putin did not like the 2014 coup d'etat because Russia was plundering Ukraine before this coup and Putin controlled Ukraine's politics. Everybody knows that this is not the case. Five, she even lies because there are no two schools in American foreign policy, conditionally Kissinger and Brzezinski, although everyone knows that there are such schools and they are called democratic interventionists and geopolitical realists, and then there are the neocons. Six, why is she lying? Because she is an ideologically and so-called neocon and neoconservative. This is the radical trend, directly ready to lie and commit crime. Number seven, and of course she lies that the United States knew almost nothing about the negotiations in Istanbul until 2022 between Russia and Ukraine. Everyone knows that there is no independent government of Ukraine at all because it is completely puppet regime controlled by the United States. Eight, therefore, you know, taking notes, folks, I know I'm reading through this pretty quick. Hit these and find out for yourself what the history really is and find out why maybe they don't want us to see Russian media. Therefore, these neocons, what are the other ones? You got them all three of them, the geopolitical realists, the democratic interventionists, big news Brzezinski, remember I called him that too, he's long dead. Kissinger, long dead now, not quite long dead, but very influential and driving the warmongering that goes on. It is useful to see Nuland only number nine here. It is useful to see Nuland only for the narrow specialists. For example, those who knew well Nuland's husband is and how he relates to her politics. You need to be a very expert to find some secret traces of reality in the stream of lies. So now my listener ought to do that research of the observations to qualify that they are the truth or not for yourself. And then that all these lies are the cover up the operation Ukraine to steal and plunder the trillions of dollars of mineral and other wealth to the last Ukrainian, as Senator Lindsey Graham has repeatedly admitted. These congressional criminals are despicable pieces of trash, really, and need to be removed permanently. And you go, you folks, I think it's South Carolina. You keep this Lindsey Graham in there. I don't know about you. I really don't. Anyway, go figure this out. Why wouldn't the government want us to see foreign news sources? When you see, and you can go through that list and prove out exactly what that source is saying, is the truth, and against these people in Washington. And while we're in the laundromat known as Ukraine, new evidence linking Biden crime family and the neo-Nazi junta by Drago Bosnick, independent geopolitical and military analyst. Illegal dealings of the Biden crime family are a very well-known fact to anyone remotely informed. So here we go. They want to keep us from being informed. And if you're remotely informed, you know about this one. Many of my esteemed colleagues have covered this topic in great detail, describing how Biden crime family is funneling money through various proxies around the world. Around the world, folks. They're wanting to focus on Ukraine while they're doing it elsewhere as well. And this is not just Biden. I mean, who else do we have out there? You know, the Clintons, all these other foundations, these philanthropists as well. And this is essentially just one part of a DNC's large-scale corruption scheme that aims to ensure continued financing for the increasingly unpopular party. Since the start of the Special Military Operation, SMO, this has escalated significantly, with the Democratic Party using any conceivable way to channel billions of dollars back into the United States. It even used cryptocurrency exchanges, companies to fill its coffers, including the FTX, if you remember, Bankman-Fried so far, formerly the second largest player in the field. As a result, the company even went bankrupt, resulting in huge losses for millions of people around the world. And yet, this is one of the lesser evils that the ruling elites and warmongers, war criminals, and plutocrats in Washington, D.C. have been doing. The Biden crime family is infamous for its involvement in anything from good old corruption to absolutely monstrous dealings such as bioweapons and child trafficking. U.S. President Joe Biden is well known in Ukraine, where he and his son Hunter have a direct financial interest, particularly in Burisma. Let me interject and remind you what I started out early in the broadcast, bringing this up. He's going to make a plea deal. We'll never get the facts of this. It's going to cover over. Maybe his father bails him out with a pardon. The findings by an Australian court offer a sneak peek into the latest evidence of the Biden crime family's illicit dealings. It involves the testimony of top Ukrainian officials, including Deputy Prime Minister, Prosecutor General, General of the Head of the SBU. There's undeniable evidence describing how an organized conspiracy led by Joe Biden, Victoria Nuland, and other senior Democratic officials executed a coup d'etat in Ukraine and proceeded to directly interfere in the affairs of a sovereign state by placing their own people in key positions, as well as blackmailing Ukrainian authorities to remove all undesirable members from the Ukrainian government, as reported by 21st Century Wire. This illegitimate Kiev regime then proceeded to take over all relevant state institutions, including law enforcement and the judicial system, in order to tighten the power grip. Let me interject. If Russia understands that the United States is actually the government, they've also understood that they've been fighting the United States. And then you have the face, the false front of the Kiev government. So let's not think that Russia doesn't understand what they're actually dealing with, and they're taking very conservative steps to not let this thing get out of hand, but still accomplish their mission, which is stopping an existential threat to their whole and entire nation. The revelations were prompted by a trial over Washington, D.C.'s extradition request for Ukrainian businessman Dmytro Firtash. Another extradition request, right? So much can be learned from these conditions. According to the 21st Century, he had been detained in Vienna on March 12, 2014, with a record bail of $147 million. The U.S. demanded Firtash's extradition, but on April 30, 2015, the Vienna Criminal Land Court ruled that it was inadmissible, acknowledging that in 2 years, Washington, D.C. was unable to provide any solid evidence of Firtash's guilt. Another reason why I'm talking about this, the method is working over and over. They just never bring the evidence, and the judges don't accept, in this case, the judges don't stop it then in the first instance, and they're supposed to, showing they're part and parcel and not independent from the usurpation for We the People, and likely in lots of other places. In this court, they caught it. In other words, Deep State's requests were purely geopolitical, and even the Australian court itself, Austrian court itself acknowledged this. So you've heard me say the very same thing. These are all political hits because there's no evidence. However, the U.S. is refusing to give up, resulting in more failed court hearings on this issue, the last which was on June 14, 2023. According to the 21st Century Wire report, quote, the documents and testimony that formed the basis of the Austrian court's decision contained numerous references to illegal actions taken by Joe Biden and more generally the Democratic Party operatives in Ukraine. For instance, this testimony states that, quote, in 2013 to 2014, Biden, Nuland, Turkoinov, and Yatsenyuk developed various alternative plans with the sole purpose of effecting a change of political power to a pro-U.S. opposition. So in here, I'm going to take an immense leap to the finish for the sake of brevity, because this is a large work with links and references such as that 21st Century Wire report, better comb through for people interested in this geopolitical and financial corruption world intrigue, essentially, and what forces are marshaled to come to bear if someone gets in the way. Again, this is all to inform you of what to expect. And part of that Protocols of the Elders of Zion was learning they want to blindside you, and it's your job to not be blindsided as best you can. The article keeps going on here. It's really well, long put together. It's going to take a little bit of research, but I found a lot of the things that I have read in some of these points were true, so I'm going to offer it to you to study further. The political and strategic objectives of the United States and its measures to intervene in Ukraine can be confirmed by numerous officials, unofficial, and unofficial documents. These include, for example, the President's published national security strategies, U.S. laws, and other legal acts that relate to Ukraine and United States financial support for Ukraine with the intention of influencing the policy and party landscape in Ukraine. The Austrian court noted, however, adding that Washington's D.C.'s persecution of Firtash gave it the reason to question the professed democratic principles of the United States, a country with sham traditions of democracy and legal statehood. Wow, folks. What a finding. These findings are certainly not shocking to anyone who knows anything about the world's most aggressive thalassocracy and its oligarchic elites composed of warmongers, war criminals, plutocrats, and generally the vilest and most repugnant creatures, because calling them humans would be too much of a stretch. That means it's not even animals, they're worse. It's precisely these people, in quotes, that are holding 330 million Americans hostage in the world at gunpoint. They're the ones making decisions on America's strategic doctrine, which now seeks to start a simultaneous nuclear war with Russia and China and North Korea. This Mephistophelian cabal is also doing everything in its power to prolong the Ukrainian conflict, which they also orchestrated, resulting in hundreds of thousands of dead and millions of wounded, displaced, and others whose lives have been destroyed as a result. While we the people pay for it in a lot more ways than money, if you've been paying attention. Master gameplay going on a global stage. And so this fiat system that allows to make wealth and generational wealth, a paper that's not real, becomes the almost unlimited weapon to destroy. And that's why it's important that we get a handle on all that. One here, China detains investment bankers. So when you get a country is also, and these countries, and I'm not saying that they're lily white either, they want to monopolize their power inside. And here's an example of that. China detains investment bankers, takes passports in corruption suit. After being forced to take big pay cuts and adhere to to belt tightening measures under President Xi Jinping's years long common prosperity campaign, the country's deal makers are now in the crosshairs at the nation's top graft buster. Common prosperity here is what, folks? Common prosperity. Well, that's just sustainable democratic austerity. The same anyone can read about, as I've read behind a woodshed, called the Agenda 2030. So we're not going far. It sounds like these stories may be different. They're all pushing toward the same end. Despite what it looks like these government leaders and government neocons are all trying to make war, they're all making war to a point, to do something ultimate. In China, state-owned enterprises have been known to hold the passports of their senior direct executives and Communist Party officials. It is unusual for companies to extend that requirement to lower-ranking employees and junior staffers, like in the case of the Haitong and other brokerages. Quote, all these crackdowns and restrictions will hurt the morale of financial workers, Shen Meng, of director of Beijing-based boutique investment bank Chanson & Company. But if problems can be rooted out, then the industry could perform better in the future. Listen to how they're doing this. Shen said that the goal of authorities is, quote, to profoundly change the distribution of the profit pie in the entire financial industry. Let's use that as a microcosm point for the global restructuring in the same way. Chinese authorities have been trying to clean up the country's $6.6 trillion financial sector since at least 2021, when President Xi set his sights on corruption in the industry. Let me add his authoritarian sights on the industry. Wide-ranging probes led this to detentions and arrests of numerous financial professionals at Chinese banks, brokerages, asset managers, and insurance companies. The most severe punishments for financial crimes have included death sentences or life imprisonment for former top executives of some institutions. Investment bankers were already rattled by the last year's disappearance of Bao Fan, a star banker who helped broker the mergers of some of China's internet titans. Bao has been assisting authorities in an investigation, and his detention has dented the business prospects of China Renaissance Holdings Ltd., and the boutique investment bank he founded in 2005. It has lost about a third of its staff since the end of 2022, and its Hong Kong listed shares crashed earlier this week after they resumed trading. And they're having a commercial building problem too, but it may be because we're losing employees, not because you're losing businesses there. They have a different problem, but a similar problem relative to their commercial building industry as well, relative to this on top of it. We don't need that many investment bankers, and cutting redundant bankers is the first and necessary step for China to cultivate top-class investment banks that soon will inevitably see faster consolidation and potentially more personnel investigations in the future. It sounds like a cheaper way to monopolize a top-class investment banking system instead of, as in the United States, providing government subsidy and bailouts on the backs of Main Street, so those chosen investment banksters we have to deal with in the future can buy up the competition as the financial system falls toward the same democratic communist system as China. At least in China, they have taken out all the useful idiots that proved they would scam the government, because even in China, the government hates competition. We can read, China has more than 8,700 investment bankers as of early September across 147 brokerages. And viewed as gatekeepers of the capital market, the role of investment bankers has become more important after China shifted away from regulatory-based approvals listings mechanisms last year to a registration-based IPO system. If you think we're a lot different across the waters here. It doesn't look like China's going to abandon its fiat system, though, anytime soon. That's what I took note of here. Wouldn't America going to sound money be a shock then, as I've been pointing out? Maybe why China is another country buying gold with its U.S. fiat today as well, as I've highlighted. But are Americans intelligent enough to do this? Would they be able to pull this off? Well, it may not have to do anything with intelligence. There's an agenda running to normalize and bring parity to the whole global financial system. So it's not likely, but we can still demand it as people. It could happen, especially if you, my listener, begin yourself right now. Those of you that might want to take up a larger important cause as well of using sound money and starting to work with it yourself locally, get into the state, make your states bring legislation, you might want to contact an ex-Twitter account, Missouri Freedom Initiative, Missouri LIBERT 2, number 2, Missouri Libert 2, and he says that they have a lot of people working towards some money, as well as a lot of other things relative to the state laws, and can help you do that in your state. If so, and I asked him, he said I can give out his name to do so. Just contact him, see if he can help you. There's also a Citizens for Sound Money, for Sound Money, at For Sound Money, for Twitter. You might want to contact those. And then together here in February, they put forward a Missouri Constitutional Money Act that would treat gold and silver as legal tender. It's pretty state-of-the-art, if you will, and they wanted to use it as a model and to eliminate state capital gains tax as well. And that passed both committees, but as I talked to the gentleman, he said that their speaker of their house killed it. So that was very interesting, and if you don't understand that, you got to kind of start figuring out the politics. That was a Republican killing that bill, too. Don't know why, it's just the work got stopped right there. So it's going to take a little bit of work, but it does need to be done. So you might want to take them at their offer to offer help and give yourself a head start, folks. This is not going to happen because the government help is wanting us. The governments are doing everything to circumvent all of the people everywhere, it seems. Hope something I said today keeps you interested, looking around, look at the world a little bit differently, rethink about what you think you see, and figure out where you need to be standing so their train don't come running down on you, and try to position ourselves for the better future, not the one that they want, the one that you want, the one you want for your sons and daughters. This is episode BTW-RLM 594, and we'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close. Lessons to learn, dose by dose. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line. In house court, no place to hide. A candle of bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. So mark the time when Sunday comes. Behind the woodshed, beating drums. Hal's voice, a beacon, fierce and bold. In the fight for truth. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.